I'm thrilled to have Maya Palaika join us on Vistage Live today. Maya is one of our longtime guests, one of my favourite people, a thought leader dedicated to shaping the future of work. She has an engineering background and extensive leadership experience in engineering, sales, and operations across three continents. Maya has become a highly regarded consultant, advisor, coach, facilitator, and speaker, helping organizations redesign for a workplace evolution. Maya Palaika, welcome to Vistage Live.
Thank you so much for having me again.
It's great to see you again. So we started talking on this podcast in 2019 about ways of working and the future of work. And a lot's happened since then.
Yeah.
And not just that thing in 2020, 2021.
We will not mention it.
A lot is shifting in work. A lot is shifting in the ways we work, but what's happening at work as well. What's going on?
It's a really interesting question and a conversation I've been having a lot with people over the last little while. You can get very pragmatic and sort of start talking about, you know, yes, ways of working are still something that we haven't really defined very well and haven't landed on, and there's back and forth, right? There's organizations that are pulling everyone back in because they're frustrated because it's not working.
Yeah.
There are organizations who are kind of staying as they are but really unsure where this is all going to play itself out. And you can talk about that. You can talk about the implications of AI and what that's going to do and reskilling and all that kind of thing. But the conversation I've been loving having, and it's potentially started as a bit of a theory, I guess, sometimes in the beginning of this year. And I've been testing it out with a few people, and it seems to resonate. So I'd love to get your thoughts
as
well, and I'd love to see what you think. Is there just seems to be something that's shifted. Mm-hmm. And whether it is as a result of what we've just been through or whether it was kind of coming at us anyways, in the relationship individuals and people have with work. And that is playing itself out in some really interesting ways in terms of how we are showing up, how we are engaging, and then some of the trends that we're seeing around that. And what I mean by that, it just feels like, I don't know, I describe it like it feels like the lights went off for 2 seconds in COVID, and then they came back on. And there were a lot of people who kind of were like, oh, hold on, what's going on? What have I been doing? And all of a sudden, you know, there's this forcing function for a lot of us, not for everybody. We had to stay at home and we had to do things differently. And I'm like, okay, so I've now lived this very different experience.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the key bit for me is that people have lived something very different. And that then getting them to unlive that or forget about that is actually potentially very, very difficult. And that combined with, you know, I'm not a psychologist, but, you know, we still have people who are commenting on things that we've had some pretty existential things sort of happening in our psyche as part of that whole pandemic, right? That is potentially what's, you know, stopping the status quo, doing what we've been doing for years and years and years and years, that's kind of disrupted this relationship. And I come across from an individual perspective, a lot of people who are going, I just don't want to do that like I did before. My whole life revolved around my work. And I was okay with that. I definitely was. Work was where I got my identity, where I kind of got all my sense of achievement, where, you know, everything was part of that. And everything sort of had to neatly fit around that. Having kids disrupts that big time. But I think for a lot of us. But there's something happened where it feels like a lot of people are really questioning whether that is working or whether it ever really worked for them, and whether they want to do that anymore. And they're making some interesting decisions.
I love the context and the background, and I think there's something there. And I'm seeing that, and at the same time I'm seeing that kind of psyche shift, but I still want everything that I had when I made work my work.
Yes.
Because what I am seeing in the workplace, and not just mine, I'm seeing usually leadership, but people throughout different levels in the organization working how they always did.
Yep.
And with the same expectations of work and outcomes and productivity. And then I'm seeing others who want to work the way you're talking about, but with the same rewards.
Oh, absolutely.
Recognition, incentives.
Yep.
As those who are still working in the old way.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%. And I think, I mean, one of the things, demographics are going to make a difference, right? Some of us have many, 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 many years of the experience of working in a different way.
Yeah, right? That's right.
So for us, it's going to be a lot easier to kind of go back to what we've always known, because whatever the disruption happened was only, what, 3 years, 4 years?
Yeah.
Versus 20 years prior to that. So there's always going to be a little bit of that. And I think, even if I do think, though, if you start kind of scratching under the surface, even the people who are working in the same ways, and I'm not talking, by the way, this whole relationship is ways of working is just a one way that it's showing up, right? I think it's showing up in lots of different ways. I think it's showing up in things that people are asking for, right? In terms of, yeah, no problem, I'll come into the office all the time, but by the way, I'm going to do this, this, and this. And these days they're very open about it as these things are important to me.
You never would have mentioned anything you were doing.
Nope.
Except going to the dentist, which meant a job interview anyway.
Yeah.
But you're right. You never mentioned anything you were doing in my early days. You didn't mention your family.
Yep. No.
Whereas now everything is discussed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think what I worry about is, personally, I think there was a lot that we could do in terms of how we lived our lives. And I don't think it was great necessarily.
Yeah.
Right? That relationship with work wasn't always healthy for us.
No.
And it definitely needed disrupting. And I think there's an opportunity there. Where I think we've gone, though, is, and having spoken to now a few researchers in this space, a few sort of futurists who are looking at some trends and things like that, there is a rising anti-work sentiment. Right? There are a lot of people, and if you look at some of the trends, like quiet quitting, whether it happened or not, it was still a conversation, right? I don't know if you've come across lazy girl jobs as well.
No.
Lazy girl jobs.
Do you have one?
I know. Well, apparently people want one.
What is a lazy girl job?
Lazy girl job is a job in which, it was like another TikTok trend.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's which we want to go and do a job that is very, very boring, very simple. We have no responsibility and we get paid. Like that is the dream.
Right.
And I had this very brief moment in my youth where I was like, I just want a job that doesn't have a lot of responsibility. I think I lasted about a week before I was like, kill me now.
Yeah.
I can't do that. But there's this anti-work. I think we've gone too far the other way. And so I don't necessarily think, I think there is a resistance. And this is normally what humans do, right? They go like, that was bad. You know, it all needs to go.
Everyone go back.
But yeah, and go like, if something wasn't working, we kind of go anti that. So if the relationship with work was going, was not good, let's go anti work. I actually think that's too far and it's not good for us. Work is wonderful.
It's wonderful. You were saying something before, Maya, or you started to, about even those who work is such an important part of our identity and what we do and what we and of our dreams. What were you starting to say, that there's been a shift?
There's just that shift in terms of how they are willing to and how much are they willing to sacrifice.
Yeah.
Right? And that absolutely, and to me, I actually think somewhere there is that perfect sort of little balance, which is, this is important to me and I want to show up here and I want to do important work. You know, there was a recent study with Seth Godin did, and he interviewed 10,000 people across the world and said, what describes your best job? And number one was, I did work that was more stressful than I initially anticipated it to be. I did important work. People treated me with respect. So it's not actually that difficult, and I don't think a lot of people are necessarily asking for a lot, but they're not necessarily willing to completely live like there's nothing else outside of their life.
And work for an organization that won't acknowledge anything outside their life.
Absolutely.
How do you get the balance as a leader?
Yeah.
Because with our members and the people you talk to at Vistage as well, they're the ones who are focused on the outcome. On productivity, on performance.
100%.
You know, carrying, so many of our members are bearing the burden of cash flow.
Yep.
And how do you get the balance then without reverting perhaps to an old model of everyone in all the time?
Yep.
8:30 till 5, I'm watching you.
Yep.
Because it's not going to cut it anymore.
Yep.
But it also, you're not going to get productivity and performance.
Yep.
If it's just a free-for-all of,
oh, absolutely,
just do what you think absolutely is right for you.
Yeah. Absolutely. We've learned very well that that doesn't work.
No.
So I think there's two things. I think one is we have to start from the point of view of understanding what's really going on, and what the trends are. It is not that, you know, yes, there is this, as I said, this kind of pushback, but it doesn't mean, and I think if we approach it in the right way, it doesn't mean that people still don't want to do good work.
Yeah.
And I think there's sometimes a tendency to take it personally.
Yeah.
Especially if this is our business. And, you know, I work with a lot of founders, a lot of startup founders, a lot of business founders, people have done it. And it can feel personal, right?
Tell me more about that.
Yeah. We were in this place where people were there. They wanted to be all there. They were there
loyalty,
all the time. 100%.
Culture.
Yeah. I mean, what can feel better? And again, as someone who's founded businesses, when you build something and there's people there and it's your baby and there's buzz in the office, and it feels really good because from a personal perspective, you built something and obviously people around you were happy. People were happy and engagement was significant sort of before. And now people are sort of going, yeah, but you're not the most important thing anymore. Yeah. And, you know, I'd love to be here, but this thing. So I think just being aware of our own kind of emotion
response.
And the feeling, right? So when we get frustrated in that moment, where is that coming from, right? Because I think on one hand, we absolutely have to do something, and I 100% agree, and the biggest piece of work that I've been doing with a lot of Wistage groups right now is how do we actually get care and compassion and empathy for our people to work together with accountability. Both of those things are really important, and they actually are both just as important in that in relationship of work. And we can do that. There is a way to do that. It's not one versus the other. It's not a tension between the two. So yes, the work needs to be done there, but first being aware of it. And then the other one that I would say, do the work first, you know, on our own.
Yeah.
The second piece is to do the work to actually get it right inside the organization as well.
Tell me more about that.
So, because if we don't, and I'll maybe just do that first, but then I'll go back to what that really means. If we don't, we leave it. We're like, we're just going to be good. We're just going to leave it alone. This is what people want. What inevitably happens, we get frustrated and we make that decision. Okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
Right? And then we know that we don't make best decisions in that space.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? If we're really honest with ourselves, that's not a long-term, that's a frustrated decision, right? So before we get to that is then doing some of the work and figuring out what does it look like to have some honest conversations with people inside our business, and how do we get our people leaders to have the skill sets to have those honest conversations to go, absolutely, we care for you and your life is important. We've always said that. We never really lived it. I want you to live that. But I also need you when you are here to figure out how this place can be somewhere where you do your best work. What does that look like? Right? And, you know, when we talk about accountability, we've been going back to three basics, right? How do we set really clear expectations of what good looks like? Really, really clear expectation, because when we're honest with ourselves, we're not really good there, right? How do we engage our people and we coach our people rather than become a little bit more directive, because then we're going to get that sort of stepping in into the accountability. And then the third is, how do we actually have hard conversations? And that's the big thing in all my work, not just at Vistage and everything else. I feel like we felt that because we needed to look after our people, the unemployment market was what it was.
Yeah.
That the moment we had a hard conversation, we were scared that we're going to leave. And so we didn't. And things have kind of morphed into something that we don't want and we don't like anymore. So I think it's just those two things is, one, just being honest and compassionate with ourselves. I think we have to start with a point of compassion to us. It's like, it is frustrating. It looks like nobody cares and everybody's just doing the minimal possible thing. It can feel that way, 100%. But I think that I genuinely believe, and maybe this is the idealist in me, but I'd like to think I'm a pragmatic idealist,
yeah.
is that actually right now there's an incredible opportunity to go one of those two ways. Because I do see a lot of businesses going, I'm frustrated. Mm. None of you want to be here. Nobody wants to do good work because that's what it feels like. And therefore, you know what? Command and control.
Yeah.
Back to what worked and whatever. We have lots of research to we know that there's consequences of that, right?
Yeah.
And in a world that needs innovation and agility and you need your people, I always talk about that commitment versus just compliance, mm-hmm. right? We need them to be there and give us more than just bare minimum. That's dangerous. Mm. I get why it happens. Mm. And I think we may need to run that experiment.
Mm.
Like, it's the other thing. It may work. But, you know, from looking at human behavior and everything else, I think that's dangerous. Or, and it may take a little bit more work. So I get that. And for all of your Vistage members, this is the big question mark. Do I have the capacity? Do I have the time? You know, when you are worried about my balance sheets and P&Ls and everything else, to put in the work to go, I'm actually going to try to figure out what does it mean to build a business within which people want to come in, right? Want to be here, maybe not all the time, maybe not 5 days a week because they've lived something different and they don't understand why, but within which they want to give us more than just basic minimum.
So then, however, is there the challenge that the workplace or work is 3 days a week and 2 days a week.
It's, you're not sure.
You're not sure.
Yep.
And it's not about, and it's not even about that. And I, you know, I follow you on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
It's not even that idea of, well, I don't trust anyone unless I can see them. That is old.
Yeah.
And that's, and I get it. That's wrong. But there's a, there's something about, well, I guess it's back to expectations.
Mm.
Because I think of sales teams that I've run for years.
Yep.
And back in the olden days when I was an official dinosaur, I didn't care what days or hours or anything anyone worked because it was really clear.
You had your numbers.
Had your numbers.
Yep.
And so I guess then it's as a leader, how do you instill clarity and transparency on the numbers?
Yep.
And where what everyone does to contribute to the numbers from there. Angle.
Yeah.
And then you know that everyone's doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
It is, I tell you what's hard as a leader when you're, and I see it with my leaders in the organization, when you're on site.
Yeah.
So when you're in the physical office, and maybe most of you are in the physical office, and those who aren't just want to be on Teams with you the whole time.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Because you're in a flow of a way of working.
Yeah.
You're in a face to face, can we just catch up for a sec, flow?
Yep.
And then it's kind of you've got to go and sit down and stop what you're doing and make kind of something formal for an informal catch up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's as old as COVID.
Yeah. But it's true, right?
Yeah.
I genuinely thought that I would be not talking about ways of working anymore because we had I would have felt that we had this
much
experience.
We were all there and we loved it. And,
well, not just that, but it would just we would have tried and whatever, but reality is you see how much our habits are pretty strong, right? It is absolutely true that it's easier when we're all together.
Yeah.
So again, I 100% understand why somebody would go, just that's enough, everybody in.
Yeah.
Right? It is easier. Absolutely. Yeah. We know how to do it. We are simpler and all that kind of other stuff. But just like everything else, I mean, any decision we make, especially as a leader, right? Nothing's black and white.
Yeah.
And everything's a set of trade-offs. I keep on always thinking of the image that comes into my mind is a mixing desk, you know,
in
when you're making music and you pull one thing and this thing automatically sort of goes up.
Yeah.
That's all we do all day long is making those decisions, right? So yes, things might be especially from a point of view of a leader. So we just have to take a couple of perspectives. I might be just easier to just get up and go and talk to someone and get the answer that I need and that kind of other stuff. From their perspective, especially if there's someone who's working on some deep work or something like that, like they're getting interrupted a lot, right? So it might not work as well for them from just the point of work that they're doing. So, but for me, it makes sense, right? It's simpler, there's flow, there's energy. We are humans, we're meant to be together.
Yeah.
We are designed, you know, everything about us is designed to be around other humans. The thing is the trade-off is that your people have now lived a different reality. and to expect them to just forget that for a while businesses were successful. Yeah. We continued to work. We continued to deliver. Our numbers were, I mean, I keep on asking still in every Vistage group, did something go terribly wrong? Not one person has told me of a single thing that went terribly wrong in the years that they were in full lockdown, right? So we managed it. And so people are kind of going, but hold on. There are these massive impacts. I know that we don't want to hear about it, but 2 years out of someone's life every day in a commute, you know, is a lot. And so they would love the trade-off to be made somewhere there. Yeah. And they're looking for a company that's making, willing to be making that trade-off with them. And then I think the second piece of like doing the work, and this is why I think I'm still talking about it, we haven't done enough work to go, what are those 3 days for together? We actually have to make some decisions.
And so, and we've had this conversation about, well, if you're together, this is what it looks like. I think it also then means if you're at home, this is what it looks like.
100%.
Because if you're at home and you want to thrive on collaboration and people and energy, then you need to be in.
Yeah, 100%.
And you know, Maya, it's what you've always said. It starts with the leader, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because I thrive on people.
Yeah.
I get energy from people around me and energy from noise and people and conversation. So I guess as a leader, I find it personally hard.
Yeah.
Because there are days that I'm in and there's three of us.
Yep.
But we have fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's the challenge, isn't it? So it's for leaders who are, you know, inherently going to be more senior in their, more experienced.
Yep.
For leaders to perhaps also look at, well, what could be the positives of this for them?
Yeah. It's just looking, looking at how could you possibly, and if you need that energy and it's going to be a quiet day in the office, maybe I'll go work in a cafe, you know what I mean, for a little bit, try to get my energy in sort of in a different way. But I think that's the idea of that idea of self-awareness.
Yes.
And then being also very authentic and honest with the people going, hey, listen, you all need to know that I'm going to default to the office.
Yeah.
I love this. Oh, this is my energy. This is my happy place, right? So I will probably sometimes say things like, oh, I really love it when everybody's here.
Yeah.
And all that, it's going to make you all feel guilty and all that kind of other stuff. But it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not willing to respect the fact that it's not for everybody.
Yes.
Right? And let's have that honest conversation about what that really looks like. I do think, you know, I just want to address something. You know, that idea of I don't trust my people when they're not here. I do agree it's old.
Yeah.
But the feeling of that is not necessarily wrong, right? And I think we still need to acknowledge that there is a, again, we're humans, right? We don't like uncertainty. When we don't have those markers that have been there 30 years of our career, 20 years of our career, of the things that are still okay, it feels uncertain. And we are going to, like any human being, where none of us are perfect, go, are they really working, right? There's nothing wrong with that. I think we just got to be a little bit more honest with ourselves. Again, it doesn't mean that we pull it all and we destroy it, right? Or wait too long until we're really deeply uncomfortable. So, okay, what can we do? What are those 2 days or 3 days or whatever it is in your thing look like when you're at home? Do we need to check in? Do I put in a cadence in which I'm regularly catching up with that person and getting a sense? How do I quiet down that discomfort? Because, you know, again, is it just because I'm not used to it, or is there something there, right? And again, there's nothing wrong with us regularly checking in with our people, making sure that things are progressing, things are going in the right direction, and that, you know, we can quiet down that level of uncertainty that we feel.
So I've heard a lot of things. I've heard the beginnings of a really interesting conversation that we'll continue over a cup of tea about change in the world. There's change in demographics of the, you know, this is the first time four generations are working together. But I've also heard from you, it starts with the leader and the self-awareness of the leader. And then it starts with clarity of expectations.
100%.
Which we might, it's clear in my head, but no leader is good enough at having that absolute clarity of what's expected every day from our team. It's engaging our teams around what we're doing and around what work is wherever you are.
Yep.
We still can't get away from calling work in the office.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's really interesting. People still haven't made that shift to saying, well, work is what I'm doing based on where I am.
Oh, it's totally true.
And then the last one, and Maya, when you're talking about that really good balance between care and being frank, that's radical candor, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
Care and challenge, up the care as you up the challenge.
Yep.
So the crucial conversations and indeed difficult conversations are as important as ever right now.
100%. And I think they are deeply, again, I keep on going back to being human, they're deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I think we need to just accept that.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing that I always sort of say, let's just accept that. No amount of pretzeling ourselves into how do we structure this so the other person doesn't get upset doesn't work. It's a human being. They're going to have a threat response. Yeah. You're having a tough conversation. We're going to get upset.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're human as well. Yeah. And this is hard. So first is to accept it. But two, I think in a mindset, let's not sell them short. I don't know about you, but the hard conversations I've had with people, bosses that I've worked for, when they took the time to tell me that I could do something better and that I'm not really hitting the mark, it stung.
Ouch.
Totally stung. And in the first few years of my career, I kind of keeping the tears back was hard, right? Because that's my frustration. Yeah. It comes out that way. Other people get defensive or shut down. We all have our different fight, flight, freeze, you know, whatever your reaction is. But oh my goodness, if they handled it the right way, and I think this is the big thing is I love the carefrontation.
Yeah.
I use that all the time from Vistage.
A Vistage
kind of feel
world.
A stolen it, right?
A global Vistage world.
Absolutely. Yeah. But if it comes with care and it starts with care and I know that there's genuine care, I feel that relationship just got better.
Yeah.
And so it's the mindset, I think, is first big thing is like, let's not sell these conversations. They're really important. They actually will bond and increase engagement. And I think they have the opportunity to show care, even if they are uncomfortable. I know that seems counterintuitive.
No, I know what you mean. And I've had that experience on either side of the desk over the years.
Yeah.
I think also in summary, it's so powerful what you say. We are human.
Yeah.
Leaders are human, our teams are human, and that psyche has shifted.
Yeah.
And also the expectations of outcomes and performance haven't.
Yeah.
So it's how do we bring all of that together effectively? I know that talking to my peers is one of the best ways I work through this.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just hearing what others are doing and seeing some going a hard line, that's it. Some perhaps being a little uncomfortable with doing that, but perhaps feeling too soft.
Yep.
But everything we've talked about today, Maya, has led to a discussion really about accountability.
Mm.
And that's been so helpful and so interesting. And Maya, thank you so much for joining us on Vistage Live.
Thank you for having me.
CEOs are in the business of making decisions and leadership is the art of execution. I'm Stephanie Christopher and look forward to talking to you next time.